$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast. This is one of our mini-episodes, our holiday mini-episode. Happy holidays! I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and with me are my co-host, the returning Rick Maxian.
Hello!
Happy holidays, sir.
Good day to
you. And Brian Higgins.
Yo, yo, yo.
Hello, gentlemen. How you doing?
Wonderful.
We're in the holiday season. It is the time. Have we got all our shopping done?
Undetermined.
Undetermined. Wait a minute. That's not an answer that...
So we have...
Undetermined.
We, of course, have three beautiful kids.
Yes.
And my wife buys things, and I buy things.
Oh, so you don't... And you don't...
We haven't actually...
talked to each other.
We haven't actually sat down with our entire hoard of gifts to see if we've finished or we have too much or
you have too much for just one child.
Yes,
which I think
not evenly dispersed,
which I'm pretty sure we do.
Okay, yeah.
It's yeah.
So I would
recommend
communication.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna do that.
We're gonna have a holiday therapy session.
We're gonna do that tonight, so we'll be good.
Excellent.
Good idea.
And how about you, Brian? You got everything?
There's probably stuff I don't have, but whatever.
I banged out most of the stuff this weekend, so I should be ready to go. It was funny because it's like if I'm in a Barnes & Noble or if I'm in a Target, like I know those stores so well that I'm in there that, and this happens about once a holiday season, that I generally have more knowledge than the employees that work there.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was there at Target yesterday and this woman was on the phone and she was like, I cannot find Aquaman or Firestorm. And we need to get this for Billy or whoever. And I was standing in an aisle over and I heard
Billy.
And I was like, this Aquaman? I mean, unfortunately, the only Aquaman available is the one from the Justice League movie.
Jason Momoa.
Like, you don't have a classic Aquaman, but I was like, is this what you're looking for? This, just an action figure? And they're like, oh my God, thank you so much. Thank you. So I was like, well, you just had to go an aisle over. You were standing in the Star Wars aisle.
You should have just worn your red shirt.
I should have.
You should have.
I've done that before at like bookstores where they're like, I don't know where to find this. And they'll be at the customer service. It's like, it's over there.
Oh, no, I do that all the time at Disney World. Yeah. People will be like, excuse me, where's the closest restroom? And I just pointed right out to them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I do that at Lowe's.
Yeah, Rick's the good go-to guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got most of my shopping done. So, in honor of the holidays, gentlemen, I actually have some holiday gifts for you.
Oh. Now you're reminding me that I forgot
That's
your holiday
okay.
gifts.
That's okay.
I have
those.
One for you.
We can actually do interactions off mic.
No, we're supposed to save it for the podcast.
No, I have a gift for you.
I'll go here first. So starting off with Brian, I got a couple things for each of you. We saw this and obviously thought of you.
Oh, it's the best stashes ever. Awful, living, and dead people. Name that stash game.
Name that. Stash.
Actually, the technical name is Ha Ha Mustache.
Ha 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 Doritos.
Oh, I love Doritos.
All right, Rick. And then,
did you buy me a bag of Doritos?
No, I should have.
You should.
That would have been good.
That would have been great.
This is one you can share with the family. Perhaps have a fun family time activity. Do a little coloring.
Oh, Home Alone, the official coloring book.
Yes.
Oh. And colors spelled
what
with
color
a U.
What color are you use for the wet bandits?
Blue?
It's up to you. Enjoy that. I'm sure your kids have not seen Home Alone yet, but... out of context,
you know what
I'm
they
sure
love this year, though? Elf.
Oh, they do like Elf.
They love Elf.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
But
plays
I think
it to the Christmas.
Juliana would probably like Home Alone. The only problem is
the violence.
Yeah,
it teaches you that you can get
there's,
hit with a paint
well,
can and
there's
and
a
be
couple
perfectly
bad words.
Fine. Yeah. Oh, that's true.
My nephew saw Home Alone for the first time this year.
And he was like swearing up a storm.
Well,
he was like,
his parents were proactive.
Damn
like,
it.
That's not a word you can say.
Right. Yeah. They should have gave him like the dub version.
The dub?
It was like, holy smokes.
Holy shnikes.
All right. Continuing on, Brian.
Oh, it's the A-Team Lego Dimensions B.A. Baracus.
You have a Lego Mr. T. That's right.
Excellent. And I do love Mr. T.
Okay, I'm glad. I saw that, and I thought that was good.
Yeah.
And then finally, Rick,
Jonathan.
Something just for you that you cannot share with your family.
What is this?
Take a gander.
Old Fashioned Lemonade IPA.
It's a lemonade beer.
It's a lemonade beer from Evil Twin Brewing.
I had the pink lemonade one, and I saved the regular one for you. Oh. Old Fashioned.
Why?
Because I figured... Because it's the holidays, I figured you want to try it.
Because you're very old-fashioned.
Yeah. We like to try
it's
weird
the holidays.
Beers
that's
sometime.
When people drink lemonade,
a
right?
Lemonade IPA.
Yeah, lemon IPA sounds weird, but
I'll drink it
grows upon you. It's not as bad as that burnt Band-Aid beer you brought me once. So, well, enjoy, gentlemen. I hope you like your gifts.
Yes, and, very much. Thank you, sir.
Over the season cold, so I'll drink it now.
So, in honor of the season, we all decided that we were going to watch a classic Christmas special.
Yeah, I think that's a fun little tradition to do.
A TV
every
special,
so often, you know, breaking into some TV from our childhood.
Exactly.
Too.
I know we kind of mainly cover the movies on this podcast that you might find in a $5 bin, but often there's complete TV box sets in a $5
yeah.
bin. Might as well for the season, because we're saving our Christmas movies for future
yes.
Christmases. Christmas Eye. I don't know what the plural is. I guess
Christmases.
Christmases.
Xmases.
So we figured we'd tackle perhaps a classic special. So what we decided
classic
to go with.
Classic might be stretching it.
Yeah.
We'll
yeah,
go with right. We'll go with stretching.
So we watched from the season 4, episodes 24 and 25. It was a two-parter.
Yes.
Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
That's weird. Yeah, it's a weird coincidence. I don't think they did that on purpose.
I think they did.
First aired on December 7th, 1991.
Did both air on the same day?
Same day.
Oh.
Yeah. Saved by the Bell, Home for Christmas.
Yes.
So Saved by the Bell, Home for Christmas.
Yeah.
So obviously Saved by the Bell was my jam. It was probably a lot of yours as well.
Yep.
And one of the things I did enjoy, because really over the first few seasons of Saved by the Bell, it was located purely in the school. And then when they started to do those off-site episodes, you would get excited because you're like, oh, they're out in the real world. They started to do, this season I think is when they started to do a lot of like ball setting sometimes.
I think there was only this episode and the one where they're trying to buy the tickets.
Okay, so just two.
Like, I think
the
there's just two mall episodes.
But it seemed like there were so many in your mind, right?
Yeah.
Because that ticket episode always seemed to pop up in syndication.
Right. Yeah, where Screech was in line for the U2 tickets.
I would have pictured that, there's so many more mall episodes.
I thought
so,
but can you think of any other plots
but
in that mall?
I can't, but I think it's mainly Lisa saying she's going to the
but
mall.
But see, when they go to the Max, I feel like that restaurant would be at a mall.
Yeah, be like it's like the Johnny Rockets in the mall or something like that.
Yeah, so that's maybe that's why I picture malls and a lot more stuff.
But it really, the mall scenes kind of gave way to them going to Hawaii for, say, by the Bell Hawaiian style. Or wedding in Vegas or the beach club and everything like that. So this Christmas, do you guys remember much about it before you kind of we did a rewatch?
Yes.
You do?
Because I've watched it many times through the years.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I catch Saved by the Bell a lot.
I remember watching it probably on December 7th, 1991.
That was the last time you watched
it. And that was probably the last time I watched it. But, it probably popped up in syndication after the fact.
Yeah.
And so I remembered a lot of it when I was watching it. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this part. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
So in college, there was...
Not Saved by the Bell the college years.
Not
when you were
when I was in college. that's when the DVDs were coming out for Saved by the Bell. So I was buying those. I actually have season 1 and 2.
I do as well.
Well, I have
get
all
that as a gift.
I have all of them, but I have season 1 and 2 autographed by Dennis Haskins.
Oh!
Because he came to our school and he was going to do a trivia contest at the end of his talk about leadership or what.
Wow.
It was one of those, I'm giving a lecture, but I'm just going to tell stories from Saved by the Bell.
Why was he there? He was just there.
He was brought in as a speaker.
He does a talking series?
Probably the main thing he does for money and appearances.
What does he talk about?
Just Saved by the Bell. But I was in the front row and like someone asked a question. They're like, oh, were you on the set when they filmed the Hot Sunday video? He's like, well, that episode with Casey Kasem, I'm actually not in at all. I was like, no, the Hot Sunday is the caffeine pills episode. From the front row. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're right. You can't play the trivia contest.
And that was you?
Yeah.
Nice.
So I watched Saved by the Bell quite a bit in... Well, he gave me the autograph things after anyway. My friend Jim and I would watch Saved by the Bell, and these episodes were some of the ones that we always watched because they are absolutely ludicrous.
They are.
And it's one of those ones, as we get into it, I feel like everything is just the first take.
Yeah, oh, you're right.
Like, there's a lot of, like...
They're very, very hurried and, like, let's get this episode
filmed. Dialogue is they fumble lines, and there's a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense in it. So it feels like they were trying to film... They're like, okay, you have time for one episode here in this mall, but we're going to make it a two-parter, so you have to do two episodes in the time of one.
Yeah, exactly. That seemed like it.
But like,
it could have been one episode.
We would do commentary really on, like, the background actors. Like, there was a yellow shirt guy who was looking at Mr. Moody weird, and then we're trying to figure out the timeline, because there's definitely... days passing and the extras are wearing the same outfits.
All right, let's get into it a little bit more. So it starts off and we're at Zach's house, and obviously Zach's all excited because he's got 2 weeks off from school because he doesn't like school. And Zach's mom.
No Belding.
I always liked when we had the appearance of one of Zach's parents. And I believe there was only like one episode where both the mom and the dad finally were in a scene together.
Yeah, probably. They never were on screen together.
I was like, did they have marital issues?
I mean, if Zach Morris was your kid, probably.
And he was away for Christmas. I mean, he was on a business trip or something.
Yeah.
Well, he was going to be back for Christmas.
I think he was going to be back.
Just not for Christmas
Eve.
Yeah,
like we're not. No, I don't think we even get to Christmas Eve.
I thought the end of the episode is Christmas Eve.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think so.
They're all at Zach's house for Christmas Eve.
The timeline in this episode is very questionable.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Like, the play is happening on Sunday, I think. When Mr. Moody comes in at the end, no spoilers because it's Saved by the Bell. When he comes in at the end, he says, "See you on Thursday for the holiday sale," which makes me say, okay, so Christmas is probably on Wednesday. So are we at Christmas Eve yet?
I thought it was Christmas Eve. We'll figure it out as we go.
No, we won't, because they didn't put that much thought into it either.
They knew.
There's so many I recorded some scenes, but obviously there's so many the quick one-liner jokes and stuff like that throughout the special that it'd be impossible to even capture any of them. The first joke right off the bat is Slater says, "Oh, I prefer gingerbread women," and Jesse's like, "Oh, you probably need gingerbread pigs," or something like that. They're all dynamic there. And they all get jobs at the mall. Kelly's working at a men's store. Slater's working at the gift wrap desk. Jesse's working with Santa, getting the photo booth with kids, making $8 an hour.
Yeah.
Which was pretty good back then.
Slater was only making $4
an hour, right?
And I was like, man, $8 an hour back in 91, that's a good deal.
All she's doing is wearing a Santa costume, well, a Santa's helper costume.
But taking the picture.
Pressing the button on a Polaroid camera.
But she's got to deal with those bratty kids.
Yeah, that's well worth
it's like a pain and suffering fee. And Lisa's volunteering at the hospital. She says that the gang has all promised that they're going to deliver gifts to the sick kids that are in the hospital.
Yeah.
So they're being very charitable.
And Zach is doing nothing.
And we cut to Slater at the desk, and a woman has bought some champagne.
Now, I did record this one. Just listen to how Mario Lopez says, how would you say champagne glasses?
Like champagne glasses.
Yeah, like you just said.
There you are. I'm sure your daughter will love the champagne glasses.
He put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
The champagne glasses.
The champagne glasses.
Yes.
it's off.
No, he's making sure people understand that's glass and it's going to break.
Yeah, he's putting the emphasis because he's about
glass.
To realize.
No
glass
champagne has, wood.
He didn't wrap the bottom of the box with the champagne.
No, this is the dumbest thing.
But they would have been in a box from the store anyway.
Yeah.
So
no, she got them on clearance.
She bought eight loose champagne glasses.
But the running joke is that Slater's bad at wrapping.
Yes,
basically.
Yeah.
The result of it is because she messed up the glasses that she chokes him. She's choking him.
She's choking him.
She's physically attacking him.
But yeah. She's choking him. She's holding the ribbon or whatever.
Ribbon?
Yeah. Like,
wraps it around his neck.
First off, he's much stronger than her.
Between the front of the ribbon and the front of his neck. So she's really just chafing the back of his neck.
You're right.
Yeah, but it's funny because it's like, first off, this lady is, what,
super
50s?
Strong.
Yeah.
And she's overpowering the high school wrestler.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And Zach helps out by just going through Slater's wallet and giving money back. So he saved him from the woman.
Yeah.
Now at Jesse's job, she's working with this bratty kid and he won't smile. And when he walks away, he stamps on her foot. So she's not really enjoying her job. And Zach comes to visit her and he bumps into this mysterious girl. He somehow knocks over her lunch and sees that she's only having an apple for lunch. And he's like, "Well, why are you? Why
even?" She's like,
"I'm
on a diet."
"I'm on a diet."
He's like, "I don't see why you need to be on a diet."
And then the soundtrack goes,
his seduction technique is very direct.
And one of the things I first noticed about watching, I mean, this is any Saved by the Bell episode, but especially with this girl, Laura, and Zach's attire, is the jeans are so stonewashed and light. You know, everyone's got these super almost white jeans. High waisted, right?
Yeah, but you know what though? Some of the shirts, of course, for the styling were awful.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
However,
especially Screech's clothes, but that's on purpose.
Well,
you know?
Exactly. Well, no, Zach had a shirt on. I think
he's always got the hyper color stripes.
Yeah, it was
and
weird. But the rest of it, I'm like, okay, you could probably pass that off today, except for some of the stuff. Yeah, Screech was wearing these ridiculous khaki pants that were way too big for him. And yeah. high-waisted for a male is just kind of weird.
So this mystery girl's name is Laura, and she kind of like runs off, and Zach's like, oh, my mystery girl. So they bought all these toys for the kids at the hospital, and Screech has this squeeze and squirt doll, which is just basically this doll that just leaks water. It's peeing. Yeah. Yeah. It's peeing, and it just gets his pants all wet. So there's some of your Screech physical comedy for you. And they go into the men's room to kind of help clean up Screech, and they see this guy. He's coming in. He's checking the phone. They had phones in the bathroom.
Yeah, why are there payphones in the bathroom?
The I don't remember that. Do you ever remember that?
No.
Well, I remember like a bay hallway. Of payphones outside of
yeah,
the bathroom.
Yeah, why would you do it in the bathroom? Because I mean, they're going to be just dirty.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of gross. You like take a dump and then you just grab the phone and you're like, hi, I just took a dump. Yeah. Who are you calling?
What's your name?
Someone's calling.
I just took a dump.
Do you remember? You remember that? It's like, what's your name? Pick me up in the library.
Yeah, yeah. My name is Bob. What's your last name? We had a baby. It's a boy.
you accept the charges, Bob? Yeah, yep. We had a baby. It's a boy.
No. And he shows Screech the tips of like how to dry your pants on the blower in the bathroom. He's got all the got like the life hacks to see him. And they kind of
life hacks by Screech.
By Screech.
It's the new book.
Zach kind of learned and Screech learned that this guy's homeless. So let's hear this a little bit.
I think he's homeless. Well, then he should eat out. What's to live? Oh, gee, mister, I didn't know. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I got a bigger bathroom here than I ever did at home.
You live here in the mall?
Well, no, I just stopped in to do a little Christmas shaving. Kind of makes me look like Santa Claus, don't you think?
Nah, he's fat. He eats breakfast. We gotta go look for the girl. There's money in here. Ooh, I got dibs on it. Ooh. Is it yours, mister?
Oh, there's no money in there, son.
Well, I'd check again. Merry Christmas.
Thanks to you, son.
When I remember when I was young watching this scene, but the thing that kind of struck me the most, because I watch Saved by the Bell every day, several seasons in now, it kind of hit me a little bit as being poignant because in my, from my memory, this was the most selfless thing Zach has ever done in like 3 to 4 seasons of Saved by the Bell was to leave money for this guy.
What about Becky the Duck?
Oh, Becky, that's true. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, he's got those rare moments of, I mean, you think about around this time.
He's known for being selfish.
He's known for being selfish, right, exactly. And they play a lot about it in throughout this special, these two episodes, like, you know his reputation, you know? Yeah. Everyone knows Zach's reputation, pretty much.
He's a lazy, entitled bastard. Like, this moment, like, it might have seemed poignant at the time. Now it's kind of cringy.
That he explained, because he didn't hear in the clip, so Zach actually, he had checked all the phones, no money, and then he had, like, several dollars,
yeah,
and he just
like
shoved it in
$4 into the coin slot on one of the payphones.
Yes. Yeah, and told the guy to check again and then left.
Which, yes, it's he's trying to be like, here's a handout, but I'm not giving it to you because I'm trying to be respectful.
Yeah.
And it still is just like, and the reaction, thanks to you, son.
Thanks to
like,
you, son.
Is $4 really going to make that much of a difference?
It's better than nothing, I guess, you know?
Now I can buy more shaving cream.
Shaving cream. Always keep playing. So this girl, who is the mystery girl, Laura, she actually works at the men's store with Kelly. And Zach comes in, and he notices that, you know, she's the coworker of Kelly. So he's finally found his
and
mystery
Screech girl. Screech hilariously doesn't recognize her and keeps looking for her.
Yeah, oh,
by
that's
staring
true.
At the faces of all the customers.
Well, I don't think he's seen her. He never saw her in the first place. Did he?
If he did.
I thought it was only Zach that bumped into her.
I guess.
Yeah. So Zach's asks out Laura to lunch, and then Kelly kind of, like, vouches for him, being like, yeah, he's a great guy. Not like, whoa, we used to date, but, like.
Yeah.
Like, well, this is. We all know the Zach and
so
Kelly
the
history.
Zach and Kelly situation is always interesting.
Yeah. It is interesting
it's
to
like
me.
It's like they forget it sometimes.
And then here's the thing. Now me watching it like 20 years later or whatever. How many years later? What are we at now? 26 years later?
Yeah.
It was weird because I jumped into season 4, episode 24.
Yep.
So then I'm like, wait, they're not dating?
But no, they had broke up earlier in the season.
But then she's like, oh, he's a great guy, yeah. blah, blah, you know, all this stuff. And I'm
he's
like,
still a great friend, but you know,
like,
at the time they had their relationship
like,
turmoil.
In season 5 or whatever, didn't they get back
together? They get together? Back together, yeah, yeah.
Like,
when they go
weirdest.
To Jesse's dad's second marriage, they get back
former
together.
Former roommate.
Yeah.
But like with Zach and Kelly, whenever it called for it, they weren't together.
Yes. Like, if there was another girl.
Whenever there was another girl that Zach could pursue,
yeah,
they weren't together, and Kelly was fine with this.
Yeah.
So,
which is just weird.
Yeah, it's very weird.
It's very weird. Like, they never go like, oh, you know, it hurts me to see you with someone else, you know, type of thing. Like,
and
I
then
know
there
we're
was
not
just
together.
The stretches
was
where
she ever
wasn't
with
there.
Another guy?
Well, she broke up. They broke up because she was dating her manager, Jeff, from the Max.
Yeah.
Until Zach caught him with another girl at the nightclub,
at
the attic, when they had fake IDs.
I don't remember that one.
Kelly and Slater had their flirtations.
The first couple seasons,
yeah,
when
to,
it was always
to build
the
tension with Zach.
The Zach Slater rivalry for Kelly until Slater ended up with Jesse.
Because
and
they
she
went,
kept
oh,
calling
we have
him a pig.
Three boys and three girls.
Yeah. But Lisa never ends up with Screech.
She does give him a kiss on the cheek in this episode, though.
She does. So they're talking and they see the homeless guy and he waves. And they think they're waving at him, and Zach kind of voices his concerns about the money that he gave to the guy.
Hey, Zach, there's that homeless guy again.
He's homeless? The poor man.
Of course he's poor. That's why he's homeless. Well, I gave him some money. I just hope he spends it on food.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, when you give a guy a handout, you can't be sure if he's really hungry or a wino or worse. So, pick you up at 12:30?
Forget it. I just lost my appetite.
I love the
musical stings.
Yeah,
right?
The musical things at the end. Yeah, at and the like end. Entering back in from a commercial break. It's like, I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, so she rejects him because of something he said. We don't know why. I mean, we know because we've seen this.
Yes.
But, and I think you can tell pretty easily.
Well, and anyone with more sense than like a
someone on
the
show
watching for the first time would be like, oh, wait, they've just introduced two random new characters.
Yes, right, exactly. That know each
at
other somehow.
At the same time.
Yeah. So Screech comes in with his mistletoe hat. He's like, Lisa's make you want to do something? She's like, yeah, run away. That's their dynamic. And Zach apologizes to Laura. He comes up and he like says he's sorry. Doesn't know what he said. From his again, like you said, very entitled. Goes his idea of someone who's homeless is people that don't have cable on his block.
Yeah, the poor people are the ones
the
who don't have cable.
Don't have cable. And she's talking to him at lunch, and she's kind of like dancing around like what her dad does, but kind of like he's between jobs. They came out here, move around a lot, and then she's like straight goes to town on his potato chips.
Yeah. So this is one of the moments I had to record because it's one of the things that we quoted all the time for no good reason.
Oh, okay.
So here is Laura eating Zach's chips.
Literally, this is not a euphemism.
Yeah, for some reason, Betty can't eat just 50 became one of our running jokes.
Yeah, I gotcha. So Zach then takes Laura to eat ice cream, and then he's got a crazy idea now.
To go to a buffet and then keep eating, and 45 days later, she leaves.
Oh, no, that would be like an alternative timeline history. No, he gets this crazy idea to go visit Santa and ask what she wants for Christmas. And she's like, you're insane. And you're like, this is like every kid in high school could be like, wouldn't it be funny to go sit on Santa's lap because we're not kids anymore? It's like the very common thing to do,
yes.
You know? So, whoa, Zach is so crazy. So they go and they meet Santa and they sit on his lap and Laura whispers into the ear of Santa as what she really wants.
I bet she wants the title of the episode.
A Home for Christmas. And Santa's like, of all the things I've been asked for, I don't know if I can do that one or something like that. I'm like, other people never ask you that for this is such an uppity mall.
Haven't you had the kid that sits there and goes, I want my mommy. Yeah.
Aren't there orphans that go to Santa?
I want you to cure my black lung.
Oh my gosh.
I'm working in a coal mine.
Is that what she was doing?
Well, you know, she was looking for different work.
Her dad doesn't have
He travels along.
Maybe he has been working in a coal mine, going down, down, down.
And so So Jesse asked for like the fee, and Santa goes, "No, no, no, it's on the house."
I like that she like she clearly checks with him before. Like Zach's like, "Yeah, like how much do we owe you?"
Say.
And she's like, "I'm gonna look over at Santa first."
Yeah,
and he's
and
just
I'm like
the
man in charge. Does Santa like accept money from all of the kids? What if the kids
yeah,
look
pay?
Yeah, but what if the kids look like they're homeless?
Oh, that's true.
And
yeah.
there's only like three kids in line too.
Yeah, yeah.
because and Zach and Laura cut the line.
We just went to see. We just went to see Santa yesterday. Had to wait 45 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's funny. We were at the mall yesterday, too, and we walked by the people waiting in line to see Santa, and he was like, you know, the time where he's on break, he's not there right now, but they're lined up. And there was a woman. First of all, there were a lot of people dressed up. Like, they were very formal. And
yes.
We walked by this one woman who, she was standing next to the Santa display, and I think it was her daughter was trying to take a picture of her from across the aisle, but yet everyone was walking through,
yeah.
and she was waiting and was like, well, first of all, this is never going to let up. You yeah. know, people are going to keep walking in front of you. And it was like, you got all dressed up to stand next to the display and take like, here's our holiday card. I'm going to stand next to the mall display
yes.
and have someone take my picture.
That is why people are dressing up.
Yeah.
They want to get, they're probably also going to like Sears to get their portrait studio
oh,
photos
maybe
done.
That
and,
too, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Didn't Sears. You get your portrait photo done, Rick?
No.
Without the family, just you.
Just you?
No,
you
no.
on a bear skin rug, like George from Seinfeld?
Yes, I have a large
and
painting.
Burt
I'm looking
Reynolds.
Forward to that in the mail.
That's going to be part of my...
Send it, Polar Express.
Ah.
So Zach's mom shows up because she's setting up the mall Christmas play that's
going to
go on.
The mall Christmas play that's going to be
right in
hosted
the middle.
In the food court,
yeah.
I think, right in front of
location.
The elevator.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is just awkward to me. First off, they had to bring Zach's mom in for some reason.
Well, because you don't want to show Zach go home because they host the people a lot and him just be like home alone because that's a different tale.
Because he didn't have all the the traps to set up.
That'd be yeah. awkward. Mark Paul Gosselaar is in Home Alone.
I'd watch it.
I think
much,
actually,
like looking kind of as funny. Old as the bandits.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And Zach's mom meets Laura. So they're putting on a Christmas carol and they want her to be in the show, but her boss won't let her get any time off to do the play.
Well, because it's her first day.
It's her first day, right?
Which, fair enough. Your first day, you shouldn't be asking for a weekend afternoon off so that you can be in a play.
A play, right. Exactly. But Kelly got the time off. But obviously, she's the more seasoned employee. But she probably has like four more days experience.
And she probably requested it when she was hired.
That's true, yeah. Slater's still having trouble with the wrapping. And he's trying to wrap Lisa's gift. And the homeless guy ends up helping. Because
yeah.
he can do like a nice bow.
This is one of the moments where I kept looking at the background. The people behind Lisa in line, they either kept leaving the line, other people kept lining up and then leaving. Like the line just kept disappearing.
That's funny. He asks Slater for the throwaway scraps if he can use them. Slater is charitable and gives him like two full rolls. So
yeah.
it's really good. It's really nice of him.
And some ribbons.
So the guys are staying there, and they notice that this crowd has gathered, and when they look over, the homeless guy has passed away. He's
no, he's passed out. He hasn't passed away.
Oh, sorry. the homeless guy is
wow.
passed out.
So I did record
very
this.
Different story.
I recorded this sequence, too. And we're going to take it back a little bit to
okay.
Zach and Screech approaching Slater, because there's a few points that I want to pull out from this.
All right, let's do it.
Someone's lying on the ground.
You guys, look who it is.
Oh, no.
Come on, let's help him. Come on,
excuse me.
Back up.
Is he still alive?
I don't know. Are you okay?
Screech, call
911. Right, what's the number? Man, what is the number? Call it, quit.
Right, put open it up.
Okay, wait. Hey, prep your little guy. Put one hand under his neck and lift it gently.
All right, got it.
All right, good. Now put your other hand on his forehead and push it back until his chin tilts up.
What does this do, open his airways?
Right, I know they're like our train. Wait. Oh, he's having trouble breathing. Give me that mouth guard. All right, move, I got it.
Did you watch this on Hulu? Which version did you watch?
I watched it on iTunes.
Oh, because the Hulu version didn't have any of that stuff about
I don't
Slater
remember.
And his life card
really?
Training
they
and his
cut
breathing.
That out?
No.
They just ran over there and they told
I don't
Screech,
remember that.
They just tell Screech to call 911.
Yeah.
And that was the end of the scene.
And Screech goes, wait, what's the number again? And he says, not 911, you idiot, or whatever. And then
that was
it.
The scene.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
It was because all that's why I shot Rick a look like, I did not even see that
no.
part.
So no. I'm glad I played that because there's a few details. So first, Slater, after the guys get there, he says to the woman working with him at the gift wrap station, I'm going to take my five.
I didn't hear that.
So yeah. that they can go get the girls and go meet Lisa at the hospital.
Yeah.
He's apparently going to do this on his 5-minute break.
Oh, the hospital is attached to the mall. Attached.
And then Max is right there.
And then as soon as he comes out from behind the counter, just the exposition heavy. I learned this when I took my lifeguard training.
Yeah, no, that
these
didn't
are the
happen.
Steps you
wow,
do.
That was weird.
And the fact that a paramedic or like a mall security that is definitely trained in first aid, he's got the first aid kit, runs up.
See, that guy Slater's, wasn't there.
And Slater's like, give me the mouth guard. I'm going to be the one giving this guy mouth to mouth.
Well, the funniest thing to me was that when they noticed that he had passed out and the large crowd gathered around, no one was doing anything.
No one did anything. They just stood there.
They waited till these three high school kids ran over to take over.
This is one of the scenes, I think, where my buddy and I started taking note of those background actors because we just went, why are these people doing nothing? They're just standing there. And then they appear in the crowd for the play and all of those crowd scenes to come.
So we cut from that over to the men's store where we meet the boss, Mr. Moody. So let's hear the introduction of Mr. Moody, who owns, I guess he owns Moody's. It's named
Moody's
after
Store for Men.
Save the chatter for your next pajama party.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Moody. Laura was just showing me a picture of Santa Claus.
A fat guy in red. He's got a cholesterol problem.
Mr. Moody, can I ask you something?
You just did. Now get back to work.
Please? I know I just started, but can I be in the Christmas play too?
No! You'll be working. Everyone wants me to be generous just because it's Christmas.
Who needs to go see a Christmas carol? We got our own Scrooge here.
Yeah, so Mr. Moody is basically the representation of Scrooge in this tale. So now we go to Lisa at the hospital and the sick kids that are decorating the tree. And the gang shows up. Now, Brian, I know this is going to be a pet peeve of yours because it certainly is of mine. Zach's dressed as Santa. It doesn't drive you wild when they just don't put the mustache part over their face?
He has the full Santa beard, but he just has the mustache part like on his chin.
Yeah, it's just hanging down, so it's just like his face.
It's just weird.
Yeah, just put the part on.
I it's like they don't trust the audience to realize that it's Zach.
Yeah,
it's
we won't know it's Zach.
And Jesse and Kelly.
So Lisa finally kisses Screech for the holiday.
On the cheek.
On the cheek, and he got his Christmas wish. And they go over to check on the homeless guy.
And we get the cliffhanger.
The cliffhanger of the episode.
So I do have this recorded as
well. Oh, good.
Here it is. Da da da.
Laura, what are you doing here?
Visiting. He's my father.
End of part one.
So yeah, Laura's in the room visiting her father, the homeless man.
What a reveal.
Hooray.
So now we jump into part two. Now, one of the things...
I think it's called part deux.
Part deux. That reminded me a little bit about this is when they start off part two, they're kind of recapping it through Zach's typical breaking the fourth wall, talking to the audience.
Yeah.
Which reminds me that he didn't do that in the first part whatsoever. Like, the first part, he doesn't do his audience talking, which is weird.
It's Christmas in California.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends have jobs at the mall.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. It's like they forgot about it, or they just jump right into it. And they do that a lot, like when they did the beach episodes, or when they do the Hawaiian style. They don't do the Zach talking to the audience anymore, those location ones. It's a change of style.
Hawaiian style.
So the guys meet Laura's dad, and his name is Mr. Benton.
I think Frank is his first
name.
Frank
Benton.
I think. Yeah.
And the doctor says that he needs to eat more, and they got him some cookies, and Screech goes, who's his doctor, Famous Amos? And Zach invites them to dinner at their house. And we learn that the dad's out of town. This is what we're talking about. And then this is kind of how we learn about how the Bentons became homeless.
You know, it's a shame my husband's out of town. He loves meeting different kinds of people. I mean...
You mean you've never known any homeless people before?
Oh, no. Well, I mean people with big appetites who pass out in malls.
It's okay, Zach. I never knew any homeless people before either, till I became one.
Well, how did it happen?
Zach, maybe Frank would rather not talk about it.
No, I don't mind. It didn't happen all at once. First, the computer plant that I worked in closed down. I couldn't find another job. Then 1 month the rent was due, and I didn't have it. So we were homeless.
We drove out to California hoping to find better opportunities.
But all I found was a warmer place to be unemployed.
Dad's tried to get jobs.
I guess it's hard.
Yeah, I go for an interview, but I have no home address, no phone number, and just one rumpled suit, so they hire someone else every time.
So his job at the computer plant closed.
This is 1991.
That's a weird job.
This is 1991,
I work
mind
at the
you.
Computer plant.
Yeah.
It was probably the most growing industry.
Yeah, I know. Computers never went anywhere after that.
No,
you
know. No. In his, the plant closed.
It closed.
No one had computers after that.
And I mean, understandably, if you're homeless and obviously you need to live outside, going somewhere warmer would make sense.
Yes.
So I agree with that method. They thank them for having them. They've kind of been the nicest people since they've been in California.
The only ones invite you us into your house.
2 months? Something like that. They've only been there for a couple months. They say they'll see Laura at the play, but she can't join, obviously, because her boss is being a jerk. So they're setting up for the play, and Screech is eating, like, egg foo young with garlic sauce for breakfast, which I'm like, which at the time, I know, like, that was, like, a typical joke is, like, weird ethnic food. It's like, oh, it's so gross, but I'm like, I eat that when I go to Chinese food, you know?
For breakfast?
Not for breakfast, though. Yeah. And his Mugu Gai Pan octopus or something that he was eating, whereas Laura goes, I'm homeless, but even I'm not that hungry.
Yeah.
Which like, seems weird things.
Seems like punching down.
Yeah, exactly.
Because like, sorry, people who are actually homeless. Like, yeah. Even I'm not that hungry.
Yeah, exactly. And this is when like Zach is like, oh, yeah, I was up early helping. Like, I love getting up early. And the mom walks by and is like, sure. Because we all know about Zach and how lazy
he's
he is.
He's a lazy waste of life.
So Laura at the store at Moody's is eyeing the sports coat, which would be perfect for her dad for job interviews. And she asks Mr. Moody if she can get an advance on her salary, and he says no. But Kelly kind of puts it away in the back and says that to Arlene, who's the other employee that works there, that she's going to buy it when she gets back as kind of a gift to Laura and her dad. But before that, she kind of pled with Mr.
Yeah,
Moody.
She says to Mr. Moody, you've got to let Laura buy that jacket. Because the argument is, give her the advance. The money's coming right back to the store.
It's coming right back to
you. You've got to let Laura buy that jacket because she's homeless. And Mr. Moody comes out with one of my other most quoted lines from this episode.
If I knew she was homeless, I wouldn't have hired her. People like that steal.
Yeah.
And then he does this face where he's kind of raising his eyebrows and leaning in like, you know what that means.
Yeah.
Even though he just said it directly.
Yeah, he did just say it directly.
My buddy and I would always just make that face. We'd go, people like that steal.
So Zach shows up in his like Victorian clothes and he
by the way, he's in A Christmas Carol.
Yes, he's in Christmas Carol.
So he's in his costume.
Yeah, he's in the typical Dickens
era. It's not
era.
Like a normal Wednesday affair.
Or
well,
no,
Sunday.
Know, no.
Sunday, right?
Sunday.
Sunday.
So he decides that he's going to use some of the Zach Morris charm and do a little wheeling and dealing that we know Zach is so good at.
Mr. Moody, you are making a very big mistake not letting Laura off work today.
Oh, yeah? Why?
See, now, if you let her be in our show today, I guarantee you it'll double your business.
Double my business?
Uh-huh. Step into my office. It's time to play Let's Make a Deal.
Zach's gonna get me fired. Laura, Zach would never do anything to hurt you.
Well, there you go. You're in the show, Laura.
I am?
Uh-huh.
Zach, you're amazing. How in the world did
Later.
You...
You got 20 minutes to learn your part. Come on.
It's not a lot of time. Well, I mean, it's not a big role.
Well, she's the ghost of Christmas Present,
yeah.
I think.
Do you think they did the whole show or just scenes?
I mean, I think they did a whole show.
Yeah. A whole show? That's a weird way to put that.
I stand by it.
They did the show all about butts. Zach was really using rough numbers, I think, because he guaranteed that he'd double. What market in economic statistics is he using for? Oh, double, exactly. You know, he's kind of throwing out rough numbers here. But again, like Zach's so good at scheming and conniving that he's going to make it work in his favor.
Yes.
So they're at the show, and again, Kelly put away that jacket because she was going to buy it in secret. So the play starts, and Screech is playing Scrooge. and Zach is playing Bob Cratchit, and Slater's playing Tiny Tim. Laura's
get
playing,
it, because he's not tiny at all.
That's true. It's funny. And they're all kind of doing their best British accents, I guess. And the part I did remember watching this as a kid as the first time that I loved is how they, much like we did with our Time Cop Christmas episode, kept shoehorning in Moody's Men's Store into the play.
Like, yes, we did keep shoehorning in Moody's Store for Men into Time Cop.
We did. So, like, here's all the little times where they were giving free advertising to Mr. Moody, which was the way to guarantee the sales to go up.
Hey, sir. Yeah, right. Stay home tomorrow. But be here early the next morning.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Scrooge. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Cratchit,
sir.
About those clothes you're wearing. Bah! Humbug! Will you come back? I want to see you wearing something with style. Something from Moody's Store for Men.
Oh, you mean that elegant shop in the Bayside Mall.
It's exactly what I mean. Open Christmas Eve, don't mind. It's a shame about Tiny Tim.
Yes, it's tragic.
So young, so brave, and so poorly dressed. He should try the boys' apartment at Moody's Store for Men.
But Tim is so tiny.
Humbug! Moody's Store for Men has all sizes, from Tiny Tim to Gigantic George. And at market prices, even the houses could afford. Spirit, hear me? I am not the man I was. I'll honor Christmas in my heart. I'll keep it with me all year long. I'll be thoughtful, generous, and nice.
All right. If you're gonna be good, you gotta look good. So?
Wow! Look hot! Where are these clothes from?
Where else?
For the well-dressed miser, the only place to shop is Moody's Store for Men. All major credit cards accepted.
So Mr. Moody gives it a standing ovation.
Yeah.
He loves it.
A couple things about this play. Beyond just the blatant endorsements could probably raise problems with the rest of the mall, who'd say, like, hey, why aren't you plugging our stores too?
I was trying to see the other stores in the background, to see what they were called.
They're probably called Store.
Yeah, it's hard to read it. It's hard to see it.
But then, since this is again in the food court-ish area, the all-purpose area, like,
that's where the people were sitting too. What
Bob
if you were
Cratchit
just
and
get
Tiny
food?
Tim return from their excursion. They enter off of the elevator.
which
I'm sitting there, I'm going, that requires
how'd they plan that?
Very good timing.
Yeah, exactly.
Which involves more rehearsal than I think you actually did.
An elevator rehearsal. After the play, Laura goes back to the store, and Arlene says that someone bought the sports coat, so it's gone. Mr. Moody shows up,
and
he goes,
I have this recorded as well.
Oh, you have this?
What are you doing? Where's that jacket?
Marlene sold it, Mr. Moody.
Uh-huh. There's no receipt. You stole it. I'm calling security.
Wait, I didn't steal anything.
Tell it to the cops.
Cops?
Hello, security. This is Melvin Moody, and I'm in a bad moody.
Hey, Miss Moody. Nice show, huh? Where's Laura?
Bought her rose. She's a thief. She stole a sports coat and ran away.
What?
I had Marlene put that coat aside for me. I was going to pay for it right now.
I got to find Laura. Forget it.
I'm Melvin Moody, and I'm in a bad moody.
No, but my favorite moment is him walking back into the store. He's singing to himself, and he's like, what are you doing?
He was all excited from the show.
Yeah, he was riding that wave. But yeah, so he thinks Laura has stolen the jacket.
Yep.
She has run away.
She ran away.
And in that 1 second time span, all the kids come in and say, no, I bought that jacket.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I bought the jacket.
And then
no,
it's like,
I'm Spartacus.
Yes. And he's like, oh, sorry.
So the gang goes looking
hangs
for Laura, and they can't find her, and they all split up, and they plan to meet back at Zach's house.
Here's another Slater line for you. First, we have a Zach line. This, again, shows how this seems like it's the first draft. They didn't refilm anything. It was the first scene, first take. Here's Zach saying, we gotta find Laura.
Come on, guys. We gotta find Laura.
We gotta find Laura.
So, oh, I thought that was the stream skipping.
No, no.
I did hear that.
That's him just saying, we gotta get find Laura. And then we have some of the acting prowess of Mario Lopez.
Oh.
Oh. Now host on Extra.
Guys, a woman just saw Laura run into the parking lot then head away from the mall. Yeah, I looked all around, but I couldn't find her.
I looked all around, but I couldn't find her.
Couldn't find her, yeah.
Very awkward line readings there.
Yeah, exactly. They're just trying to, like, bulldoze through it, you know?
Yeah.
Get through it. Zach and his mom find Mr. Benton's car. It's, like, parked at a Christmas tree lot.
What? At a prime parking spot.
Also, they're giving up on finding Laura. We need to get a Christmas tree, so let's just get the tree. We'll search tomorrow.
Oh, you think they stopped looking and that was just coincidence?
That might have been cut from your scene.
Oh. Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, the mom's like, Zach, we'll try tomorrow.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, yeah, that didn't happen.
That didn't happen at all.
Yeah, they're at the Christmas tree lot, and he doesn't want to give up. She's like, we've tried searching. We need to get the tree before your father gets home.
Oh, so it's not even, well, it is kind of Christmas Eve. I am so confused with this
timeline. I thought at some point they said, we'll meet back up at Christmas Eve for Christmas Eve or something like that. But maybe I imagined that. I don't remember. So Laura tries to, like, explain herself, and they know that she didn't do anything. And Mr. Benton goes, you made some good friends. So they don't want them to just, like, stay in their car for the night. They invite them over. Yeah, because they say, come over for Christmas Eve. That's when they said it. They say, why don't you come over for Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
That's
okay,
when they invite them.
I'm just so confused,
so they've been searching for Laura for probably 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. Oh, wow. She's been hiding in the car the whole time.
This is crazy.
So back at the house, they're all celebrating. They're having a good time. And Mr. Moody shows up because he wanted to apologize and give the jacket himself.
He apologizes, but he's still the regular old Melvin Moody.
He's still Cratchety. Not Bob Cratchety.
See you Thursday for the holiday sale.
Like, he can't stand being in a room full of Christmas. He's just like,
wait,
and runs out.
Cause I guess you're right, because if this is Christmas Eve, why would they have the holiday sale on Thursday after Christmas would be over?
Yeah,
I guess I can get, like, the day after Christmas.
Well, that's not what he said, though. He said
the holiday sale.
Oh, I guess so. So Zach says he talked to his dad. Now, before I kind of rant, because this is ending out the episode, Rick, I believe he had a comment a little bit about every time he talked on the phone.
Oh, it's every episode too. When he breaks out that phone and then goes and puts it in his back pocket.
Yeah,
I mean,
how's it fit?
Like this,
he never has it in the back pocket.
No,
in like any other scenes, unless he needs it.
Yeah, true.
Correct.
Usually, it's just in his locker.
No, but one time I remember he ordered like a pizza from like classroom or whatever, and he literally like pulled it out from his back pocket. He was sitting on that. He was still sitting at his desk.
Yeah,
but I'm like,
that's
oh my
awkward.
God!
I didn't like having my wallet in my back.
No,
and sitting at a classroom desk.
It's crazy.
Like I said, Zach talked to his dad, and they said while they're kind of finding their feet and getting settled, that Laura and Mr. Benton could stay at their place.
That seems very inappropriate.
I know. It's very charitable, but I'm sure they have a guest room at their Bayside house.
I mean, Zach is just setting it up for him to have, like, a live-in concubine.
That's true. That's right.
It's questionable. And all the adults are okay with this.
And Laura gives him a kiss on the cheek. They say they have nothing to give back, but then Frank goes to the piano, and him and Laura start singing a Christmas carol, and everyone joins in. And my thought at the end of this is, again, if this was Christmas Eve, I was like, why are the rest of the gang not with their families?
Yeah. And one of the things that always struck me with Mr. Benton singing, he has a very deep vibrato.
He does.
He's just like, silent.
Yeah, they're singing Silent Night, and at one point, someone is singing a low note that is not in key.
It's probably Mr. Benton.
It's probably Mr. I don't think it was him, because he was singing kind of the melody, and someone else comes in
Maybe
at some
Mr.
point.
Moody was singing from the bushes.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been great. He's just peering in. End of the Christmas special episode of Saved by the Bell.
Doesn't have the same ring as End of Movie.
I know. So what did you guys think about watching this again?
It's so bad.
It is.
I love it, but it's so bad.
It's something bad that you love. Though.
It brought me back so long ago, and I'm like, man, this is why I leave certain things in the past.
Yeah. One of the things that always, and especially with this, I remember at the time identifying with it, and it's lasted to my current age, is I get crazy about bad continuity because we never see the Bentons ever again.
Nope.
They don't ever show up on a Saved by the Bell episode. But Saved by the Bell is notorious for this. This is season four. When they're in season five, they would go back and forth where one episode, Kelly and Jesse would be there. The next one, Tori would be there.
Yeah.
And Kelly and Jesse would be gone. And they would go back and forth. And the continuity is just always and horrible that they don't continue.
Some of that is just based on the airing order. Like, they would air out of order.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But yes,
that's the way
I
they
agree.
Would play it. Yeah. I mean, it is kind of a laugh and fun to look back, but it's obviously no masterpiece.
No, it's, but if you grew up on it, it is a fun little nostalgia trip. I mean,
and you love, it's, it,
yeah,
and it falls
right,
in the canon overall of, if you love Saved by the Bell and you're a completionist, it's in the whole repertoire of the episode, so you gotta go with it.
If you've never seen Saved by the Bell,
you're, probably not for you.
Like, you wouldn't...
You can't
you,
watch...
You're not
going to
get anything out of it as an
now.
Adult.
No.
Yeah. If you don't have the nostalgia, Screech is, like, annoying and cringeworthy to watch. But you're back in the day, you're like, oh, that was Screech. He was funny when we were kids. But now it's just like, he's hard to,
now you're
he's
like,
hard to take.
Leave that poor girl alone.
Yeah, exactly. So the next thing we're going to do really quick now, moving on from Saved by the Bell, for the holiday season, we are going to do a Christmas and a holiday themed King of the Thing.
Yes. So try to keep this really quick.
Yeah,
I think with Christmas,
we can breeze through this. Yeah.
So I have kind of two brackets. We have a Christmas villains and a Christmas heroes bracket.
So characters involved in
yes.
Christmas specials, movies,
yes.
TV.
We have some heroes. We have some villains. You can use whatever criteria you want to determine the winner in this, whether it's more iconic, whether it is a winning in a fight. You get the choice. To begin with, we're going to start with the villains and work our way
all right.
to the hero.
How many are we pitting against
each other? There's a total of 16.
Okay.
So we'll start, number one, the Grinch. Number two, Professor Hinkle from Frosty the Snowman.
I'm going to go with the Grinch.
Grinch. The Grinch is stronger, better, faster.
Is he on steroids?
Well,
Professor Hinkle is a magician.
He lifts the entire sleigh.
I think the Grinch is the more iconic and well-known Christmas villain, so I'd go with him.
Oh, I'm gonna go with pure strength.
Now next we have Scott Farkas from A Christmas Story, the bully.
Oh yeah, Farkas, yep.
And Harry and Marv, both of them.
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, I
know my mind.
They're both bested by children.
Yes, but with Harry and Marv, they show no hesitation going after a child.
That's true. Where, obviously, Farkas shows remorse after he gets his comeuppance.
Yeah.
All right, let's go with the Wet Bandits.
Next, we have the robot Santa Claus from Futurama.
Mm-hmm.
That's there for Rick.
Ah.
And the Bumble from Frosty the Snowman, the Abominable Snowman.
Oh.
Or from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rick, I'll let you weigh in, but I got to go with the Abominable Snowman. I mean...
I think if anything could beat the Abominable Snowman, it is a robot Santa with guns.
I was just going to say, robot Santa kills
everything.
You're
saying in a fight. You're saying in a fight. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
I said any criteria can be used.
All right, let's go with that. Robot Santa.
Yeah, I'm going to go with robot Santa. He's crazy.
So the final matchup for the villain bracket is Krampus.
Krampus.
Versus Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge.
Well, if we're going fighting again, Scrooge is done.
Yeah.
Scrooge is done.
But you can go iconic if you prefer.
That's true. I mean, Krampus is kind of become more well-known, but Ebenezer Scrooge is the more memorable one. I don't know.
The other ones we've decided have all been fights. So.
All right, so let's go with the fighting criteria. Krampus. Yeah. All Krampus right. moves on.
Now we'll take a look at the hero bracket. We're starting off with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and George Bailey from It's a Wonderful Life.
Now, this is not going to be a fight. We have to come up with some kind of other criteria here.
On the hero bracket, they're probably giving impassioned speeches or something.
Okay, here's mine.
Rudolph can fly.
I was going to say, I'm picking Rudolph because who has the more positive impact on Christmas overall? Like, George, yes, he... improved his own life.
Yeah.
But Rudolph helped Santa.
Did you see what Pottersville was like? George's presence improves everyone's life.
But that's just Pottersville. No. I mean, Rudolph helped the entire world by helping Santa.
Yeah, okay.
Drive the sleigh.
So Rudolph will take
sleigh.
It.
Rudolph.
Our next one is Kevin McAllister.
Uh-huh.
Versus Scott Calvin from the Santa Claus.
Oh, man.
So Kevin McAllister is from a coloring book.
Yeah, it's Scott Calvin. Yes. And Scott Calvin is Tim Allen.
Well, okay, so easy. I'll go by my own criteria again. Who affected more the world? Scott Calvin as Santa Claus.
Yeah, I'm going to go with...
Helped out more than Kevin just defending his own house. So
I'm going up with
SC. Scott Calvin.
Now we have Frosty the Snowman versus Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh.
Wow. Frosty versus... I'm going to go with Frosty.
I don't think we could, any good conscience, let Poop move on. So
no.
Let's go with Frosty.
Yeah.
And now we have Buddy the Elf versus Howard Langston, Arnold Schwarzenegger from Jingle All the Way.
Howard just, I feel like he caused more chaos than actually helping.
I agree.
But his performance in that parade.
He had one redeeming thing. Buddy makes everyone feel great.
No, I don't.
Arnold only makes Jamie feel great.
Yes.
We're going with Buddy the Elf.
Yeah.
Buddy, all right.
I think Buddy has this whole thing won.
Well, we'll
see.
We'll
see.
See what happens.
Now we're going back up to villains. The Grinch versus Harry and Marv.
I'm still going to go with the Grinch.
You're going to go with the Grinch?
Yeah.
I like
more
Brian's. Well, if we go by a criteria that Brian set out of, like, who is the most evil, the Grinch kind of.
Any criteria.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Any criteria.
Well,
yeah.
The Grinch redeems himself.
Yeah.
And the Wet Bandits, as you said, have no qualms in straight going after kids. So, I mean, if we're saying a villain, I'm saying the Wet Bandits are more of a villain.
Yeah, but
like, the Grinch becomes a good guy at the end.
Yeah, but for years he was a bad guy.
Yeah.
But then redeems himself.
I'm going to go with the Grinch.
Okay, that's fine. I'm fine with it.
Then we have the Robot Santa versus Krampus.
Robot Santa.
Krampus is magical, though.
It doesn't matter.
He would take out the Robot Santa.
Robot Santa has Bender on his side.
You got me there, Rick.
Okay.
Robot Santa. Rudolph versus Scott Santa Claus Calvin.
I like Scott Calvin because it's Santa. And he's affecting
Santa.
Millions of people. I know you say Rudolph.
It was my way of getting Santa in without directly saying Santa, because
Santa would win the bracket.
Yes, Santa would win everything.
So maybe if you're saying, since Rudolph helps Santa, but it's Santa,
yes,
we should just go with Scott Kelly.
I'm going to go with that.
Okay. Then we have Frosty
and if
versus
they got into a
Buddy
fight,
the Elf.
Santa's got opposable thumbs.
Frosty versus Buddy the Elf. Oh.
I'm going to go with Buddy.
Who?
I like Buddy.
I think this one could turn into a snowball fight.
Because, yeah. Like, listen.
And all you need to do is knock off Frosty's hat.
That's true. Oh, that's true. And then he'd be frozen. Okay. I like that.
Yeah,
Buddy, because
you remove the hat, done.
Right. Our final four, we have the Grinch versus Robot Santa.
I still think I'm going to go with Robot Santa. Because
I'm just going to agree with you because I want to pitch something coming down the line.
The
so
only
I say,
thing, no one lives in Robot Santa's world. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I understand the main characters from Futurama do, but he literally killed millions.
That brings us to Scott Santa Calvin versus Buddy the Elf. Mark,
oh.
I'm going to go with you first.
I would like to say Scott Calvin as Santa.
Okay.
That's my pick.
I'm going to have to go, as much as I love Buddy the Elf, I'm going to have to go with Santa.
Yeah, I think we're coming down to a final of Robot versus Real Santa.
That's what I wanted. Robot Santa versus Real Santa.
Oh.
I want to have this matchup.
Oh,
so
man.
This is what we're doing.
This is a big matchup.
Now, we know Santa has defeated Martians before.
Yes.
So he has a prestigious fighting career.
And it is a robot, so he could.
I mean, robots can rust, right?
In the episode of Robot Santa, Robot Santa is frozen under the ice.
There you go. And Santa's
then they
magic.
Melt.
He could probably summon snow and ice powers.
Well, and Santa, realistically, Santa has won his bracket, but he probably has the support of all of his followers.
Exactly.
Here.
I was going to say, he's
so, like,
got a big
Buddy
support.
Buddy is probably there to help him.
Yeah, but
Rudolph
is
there.
Robot
Frosty's
Devil's got
there.
Bender.
Robot
but that's
Santa.
It.
Robot, whatever. Yeah, robot.
But that's all he's got.
If it
got.
Was Robot Devil, he'd
But
win.
That's all he got. But he's got one ally.
What if he has Kevin McAllister there, who's just like, I'm going to disassemble Robot Santa with some
that's
micro
true.
Machines.
And some paint cans.
Hands.
I'm going with Santa.
I'm going to go with Santa.
I'm going with Santa.
I'm going, Tim Allen needs some work. He's won.
Congratulations to our King of the Thing for Christmas, Scott Santa Claus Calvin.
Woo! Good over evil. We did it, guys. We did it.
We were close.
Now, to tie it in with some of our other Kings of the Thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now we have Scott Calvin eventually, if we do a
King of
combined
the Thing Ultimate Battle
Scott
Royale.
Calvin versus Judge Reinhold.
Oh, same movie.
The Weenie Whistle.
Yeah,
wow.
That's true. Well, we'll save that. We'll save that for future.
Well, I'm pretty sure it'd be Scott Calvin because he gave him the weenie whistle.
Gentlemen, so we're running short on time. I know Rick has a holiday party to run to. I got a few more items I'm running out to. Brian has some classes this evening as well. So we got to bid adieu. But before we go, is there one last thing you would like to say to the Cinemaniacs for any kind of holiday wishes?
I hope 2017 was a good year for everybody.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I hope 2018 is much the same.
We'll be back in 2018 with the movies again. This is going to be our last episode of the year.
Yeah.
So you'll hear us when
season,
we'll be entirely
what season are we
new
now?
Year. We're like season 4, I think.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So we're right up there with Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Yeah.
We have a lot more episodes, though.
Brian, anything?
Into all a good night.
Yes. And I tell you, eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoyed your nogs of egg or various varieties and your fruitcake. And make sure to deck the halls with those balls of holly. No, I meant to say balls. Jingle balls, jingle balls, jingle all the way. And on that note, thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. Happy holidays! I'm Mark, and for Rick and Brian, just remember, you can always paint the grass green and the tree as well. Good night, everybody!
Goodbye!
Hey, Rick, pick one of the movies we did as a review of this last year that you found to be memorable.
Blank Check.
Blank Check.
$1 million. $1 million. What would you buy for Christmas with $1 million?
$1 million. $1 million. What would you buy for Christmas with $1 million?
Would you buy a mansion? Or would you buy a water slide? Would you buy a Corvette? Or would you buy some fancy pants?
$1 million. $1 million. What would you buy for Christmas with $1 million?
Would you use the money to buy lots of loves? Or would you use it on giant boxing gloves? Would you use it to on the town go loose? Or would you spend it with a villain whose name is Juice?
$1 million. $1 million. What would you buy for Christmas with $1 million?
Join us, Rick.
$1 million. $1 million. What would you buy for Christmas with $1 million?
Mr. McIntosh.
Happy holidays, everybody! Woo!
But I thought the computer plant shut down.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast and our mini reviews it of Saved by the Bell Home for Christmas special to celebrate the season. Happy holidays! You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5 Bin POD, like us on Facebook, or email us at the $5bin.podcast@gmail.com. Download and subscribe to all our episodes in iTunes. And when you do, why not leave a nice rating and review? Helps others to find the podcast as well. Wow, thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, you can visit natickimprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook.
Well, that's it for this episode, Cinemaniacs. Until next time, hasta la vista, baby. See you in 2018.